Millhaven here, host of America at Night. Tune in each and every weeknight for late night conversation. We'll have interesting guests, informative conversations from people who have been there and have done that. Plus, we always have time for you, the listener, because we love late-night conversations. Be sure to tune in every weeknight from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the next America at Night with me, McGraw-Millhaven, right here on KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, your talk radio station.
Hey Shasta County, it's Patty Plum with the Shasta County Elections Department, inviting you to be a poll worker this year for our up-and-coming election on June 2nd, 2026. As you know, volunteers are needed and you can be compensated for your time and effort as a poll worker. If you have any questions, please call 530-225-5166 or you can go online to elections@shastacounty.gov, and we want to thank you for serving our community in this way.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. I happen to be Jason Chaffetz, and I appreciate your time. I really thank you. I want to make it as informative and exciting for you as possible. We've got Senator Schmidt coming up. He is really a talented senator. I've had a chance to meet with him in person. My Fox News, you know, sometimes I get to guest host and whatnot, get to interview him along the way. Super talented, big part of the party's future, big part of making sure we got good senators doing really amazing things. And so I'm looking forward to talking with Senator Schmidt. Want to learn a little bit more about where he comes from, how he's excelled, because I really think he's kind of top of the heap in terms of, quality of senators who work hard, work smart, know what they're doing, and well done, Missouri, for sending, a good quality senator to the United States Senate. We need more people like him, and I think that's really kind of important. I want to start off here with something that, you have to get right. If you don't get ethics right, then the whole system, the whole thing breaks down. And there's a member of Congress who is headed for an ethics hearing, and she has been indicted. She's going to come testify before the House Ethics Committee. Now, I want you to know that testifying before House Ethics usually is done behind closed doors. There's a room, I think it's over in Longworth, that's where the ethics group is, and if you have something that you need to deal with, or that they're inquiring about, if you do go meet, you meet behind closed doors and usually sneak in there and nobody knows you're there. Ethics Committee is different than every other committee in the House of Representatives in that there is a balance. Same number of Democrats as Republicans on the Ethics Committee. So it's different. And in order to actually expel somebody to take some sort of action against somebody, it's rare to none because usually both sides just kind of line up on party lines. But this Congresswoman, a Democrat from Florida, Sheila McCormick from Florida, she has testified in front of the House Ethics Committee. And it's a rare case, but the case, as I'm going to read directly from FoxNews.com, the case is separate from the sprawling federal indictment accusing her of stealing more than $5 million in disaster relief funds to finance her inaugural congressional run in 2021 and to purchase luxury items, including a large diamond ring. Guess what? You can't use campaign funds to go purchase rings and to engage in politics. You just can't do stuff like that. So FoxNews.com goes on to say the Florida Democrat is also alleged to have participated in a straw donor scheme and conspired to file a false federal tax return.
Ooh.
Pretty serious charges coming from the Department of Justice, but also now potentially could be the first person to be expelled in a long, long time. It is not. She has hung in there. She has said, no, I'm not leaving. First of all, we don't do hearings like this in Congress very often, certainly not publicly. Last one was in 2010, but somebody hasn't been expelled for a long, long time. So anyway, watch this. The hearing's happening, but what will Congress do or not do? That's going to be really important. Next thing is, I want to talk a little bit about this Homeland Security shutdown. Because even if it gets, like, solved right as this podcast is out there, the TSA has said there's going to be long-term ramifications. Remember, this is the second shutdown that the Democrats have just refused to go along with existing, you know, we vote for funding in the past, but now we change our mind because, well, we don't like what's going on with ICE, and we want to make a point. We want to have changes in Homeland Security. Well, we have a new Secretary of Homeland Security and Kristi Noem. They changed Mr. Bovino, who was there running the Border Patrol through Minneapolis. He's gone and now since retired and out of there. Body cams on ICE agents, now the standard, wasn't there before. It's like, at what point do the Democrats just say, no, we need even more? They like the issue. They don't want to actually solve the problem. That's my take on this. Because they're asking now for something that's just not workable, which is a judicial warrant as opposed to an administrative warrant. For decades, that's all you needed was an administrative warrant. It's still a federal judge that gets to rule on these cases, but they want it to be a judicial one, which is a whole other level and a whole different court, and doesn't necessarily have the staffing that's needed in order to do it. It's an absurd push that Republicans can't just wave their wand and say, oh, okay. And they know that. I also want to remind people that the minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, he used to take a position because Republicans have done shutdowns before, but he called it, quote, an abdication of responsibility if you don't fund Homeland Security. So, this is where I have a problem. When the principle is true on one side, and then they switch, and suddenly that principle is no longer good. Well, that's not really a principle, is it? That's just pure political. It's just pure political. But that's where, essentially, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, and the Democrats are at this point. There are very real families. I've said this time and time again. It's not just the Transportation Security Administration. It's the Coast Guard. It is the FEMA people who just do good work and want to help people. It's the United States Secret Service doing important things, not just protecting Donald Trump, but they're protecting heads of state that come in. They've got to prepare for these worldwide events coming on for the World Cup that's coming up. The United Nations gets some Secret Service protection given the leadership that's there. These types of things, they have to have the proper leadership there. So, but none of these people are getting paid. So it's literally hundreds of thousands of families, which means it's millions of people that now in month two have had no paycheck. And there's but one choice here, folks. Fund them at the level you previously voted to fund them for. All these other changes to Homeland Security have already happened. So we'll see. It could have changed right before this podcast airs, but there's going to be long-term ramifications because I think a lot of these people are saying, I can't keep going through this. I don't want to be a political football. I got to have a steady check, and I'm going to go find another job, and the country will be worse for that. So that's too bad. All right, let's go look at something fun, right? Let's talk about something stupid because, you know what, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. And we got a couple of them for you today. This one, I've been looking at this, and I don't totally understand it. The New York Post, one of my favorites. Here's the headline. Woman who married River shares how she keeps romance alive on wedding anniversary. I am committed, is what she said. She's celebrating her third wedding anniversary after marrying a river. It's the River Avon in the southwest of England. I don't know exactly how this works, but they show a picture of her right by the river. I'm still finding time to swim in the river every week, even in the winter when it has been particularly wet, which always feels riskier. Now, anytime you swim in a river, it's got to be wet, right? I just get lost in the story. I think it's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. I feel for somebody who's, well, they're struggling, but aye, aye, aye. That quote about, it's particularly wet when I swim in the river. Okay, all right. Well, that's interesting. All right, let's go to the New York Times. This gets to bird nests and cigarettes, which is really kind of interesting because birds are smart, right? They don't want an infestation of, like, insects and other creepy crawlies, right? Birds have standards, too. Ends up that cigarettes and cigarette butts and whatnot, they figured it out. Oh, well, that'll actually keep it cleaner. It's kind of crazy, but it's true, evidently. All right, this, again, New York Post, just love this. Cocaine-fueled sharks are on the prowl in the Caribbean. Scientists blame partying tourists. It's only a matter of time, right? There, we had Cocaine Bear. There's got to be a movie coming out. As the New York Post puts it out, this puts the white in great white. So, move over, Cocaine Bear. Brazilian scientists have discovered traces of nose candy, caffeine, and painkillers in sharks swimming the waters around the Bahamas. They call them blowfish, which I thought was pretty cute. That was pretty funny. But a lot of pharmaceuticals, illicit drugs in the water, evidently, there in the Bahamas. And some of these sharks are just gobbling them up. Gotta love the headline. Anytime for the New York Post, cocaine-fueled sharks are on the prowl in the Caribbean. Whoa, that got my attention, and it should get yours, too. All right, that's the stupid.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
All right, folks, as we approach Liberty Island, you'll see the iconic Statue of Liberty, standing tall at over 300 feet. The torch in her hand symbolizes a beacon of hope that's held up by her very wavy arm.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. It's proven to slow GA progression and could preserve your remaining vision for longer, so you can keep seeing the world around you. Don't take Izervay if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't wait for your vision changes to progress. Ask your retina specialist about Izervay today. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit. Reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000.
News as it happened. News as it happened.
This is Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. She wrote a children's book about grief after the death of her husband, but now a Utah jury says she's the one responsible for his death. Jurors deliberated for just over 3 hours before finding Corey Richens guilty of first-degree aggravated murder and other charges in the 2022 death of her 39-year-old husband, Eric. It was a three-week trial where prosecutors painted the 35-year-old mother of three as an egotistical social climber who slipped a fatal dose of fentanyl into her husband's Moscow Mule with plans to inherit $4 million after his death, pay off a debt from a failed home flipping business, and start a new life with her lover. She was also found guilty of trying to poison Eric a month earlier on Valentine's Day with a fentanyl-laced sandwich that made him break out in hives and black out. Richens then wrote a children's book called Are You With Me? A year after the poisoning to help her sons process their loss. Richens will be sentenced in May. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Take a pause.
More nonprofits are getting trained dogs in the courts to comfort victims. In Nevada, there's Courtroom Critters with more than 50 therapy dogs. Founder Stephanie Lafredo.
Our mission is working with victims of traumatic crime, and we've expanded a lot. We're now working in the courts helping people with severe anxiety. We work with DUI courts. We work with drug courts.
The dogs usually sit next to victims and let themselves get petted. Judge Nadia Krall said the dogs put a smile on people's faces.
We want to make sure that they're as comfortable as possible during this process.
Lafredo says she expects to see more dogs in court.
Once the judges accept it and they actually see the value and they see the smiles and especially the decrease in anxiety, when anyone sees this, it's like a domino effect.
Check out courtroomcritters.org or therapydogs.com for more details. And take a pause. Your Honor, Jill Nato, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Now it's time to bring on one of the up-and-coming rising stars, one of the more effective people, particularly given his short time in the United States Senate. Let's bring on Senator Schmidt. Senator Schmidt, thanks so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. Do appreciate it.
It's good to be with you, Jason.
I'm excited about the stuff you're doing. I mean, every time I turn around and see it, you seem to be saying the right thing at the right time. So,
Missouri. That's show me state common sense, Jason.
Well, we love it. Look, you're just a freshman there in the United States Senate, and what I'm really fascinated about is kind of how you got there. You know, and what's it like? How's it different than what you thought it was going to be like? But I'm always fascinated when people rise to the top of the ranks and how they did it. And you've had a great success story. You've earned it. You've worked hard for it. And now that you're there, want to hear more about it. But Senator, I'd like to start with, I was born in. And let's just kind of walk through what you've done and how you've done it.
Sure. I was born in Bridgeton, Missouri, which is a working class area, a working class neighborhood in the St. Louis area. And so grew up, my dad worked for Anheuser-Busch 7 days a week in the midnight shift. And I had a great family life. Parents were very supportive, two younger sisters, played a lot of sports, went to Catholic schools. And that was a sacrifice for my family, actually, to pay for me to do that. And then
went off to college. What kind of sports were you playing? Because I met you, I've spent some time with you in person. You're a decent-sized guy.
Yeah, I played back before everybody was so specialized. I played football, basketball, and baseball. I played soccer as a little kid before I played football when I got, to be like a teenager, I guess. And then loved it. I mean, I always gravitated toward sports. I thought the team aspect was fun. I'm a pretty competitive guy, so that kind of allowed me to be competitive. I was a pretty good athlete and got to play football and baseball in college and loved it. I mean,
what college did you go to?
Well, I went to Truman State University in Missouri, and I just felt like, for me, with team sports in particular, you were able to, somebody's race didn't matter, their religion didn't matter, where they came from didn't matter. You were on the same team, and right, they were fighting for the same thing, right? And that always was appealing to me.
You're right. I think we don't give enough credit in our education, if you will, for utilizing this, not only you know, growing the skill sets and being physically active, which I think is, you know, leads to a healthy lifestyle for the rest of your life. But what did you learn from sport? Because I think there's so many lessons you don't even realize you're learning. But what were those lessons you kind of learned from sport?
Yeah, I think you got to get up early. You got to show up on time.
Right.
That's a skill, yeah. Right?
When you're a teenager, it sure is.
Yeah, that's right. And I think also the discipline that it takes to be good is something that I still carry with me to this day. I, you know, I get along with people. That's just my general nature. But there is a very competitive side to me that wants to win, and that was certainly cultivated growing up playing sports. And I think, you know, in baseball, it's running out the fly ball. You know, you're not walking to first base. It's your kind of finishing that last separator in basketball practice. Those kind of things that sort of test your mental toughness, I think, had a very important role for me, because I think in any walk of life, no matter what you want to do, there's a lot of talented people out there. And I tell this to my teams that I've been able to build, whether as attorney general or now. You know, there's a lot of smart people out there. But I think what separates people is this sort of grit that you have to have. And you don't measure it on a test necessarily. But I was asked this question, like, thrill of victory, agony of defeat on a podcast once, and I hate losing, and I think everybody likes winning. I hate losing, and okay. So that motivates me. But you have to do all those little things, that process to become good. It doesn't just happen when you're on the field that day. It's all the practice time. It's all the, you know, shooting all those shots or time in the batting cage or whatever it is that you're doing. That takes a certain amount of dedication before you get to game day that I do think is instructive in life. And I think there are no shortcuts to success. And I grew up in a family that really valued hard work, right? Like, I remember a time when I was like shoveling snow in St. Louis to make some money as a kid, and it was a neighbor's house, and I had not totally got all the snow off the sidewalk, and my dad noticed this, and he corrected me. He said, "You go out there and you're going to finish that job, because you're not going to walk away and have a reputation of doing something half-ass." So I did that. It made an impression on me. And I also think, Jason, I remember one time, I'm not sure I've ever told the story. My dad, so he worked the midnight shift, so he could show up to some of my games that I played, like they were in the late afternoon, particularly in high school. And we were playing a team in East St. Louis, Illinois, and I was from the St. Louis side. And it was an all black team on the other side. And this was not in the best neighborhood, in East St. Louis, if you're familiar. Right. My dad went to the game. And I played the game, whatever. And after the game, my dad said, "Hey, let me introduce you to Joe." I could see my dad was interacting with, he was the only, one of the few parents on my team that was there. And he's interacting on the other side. And he said, "Let me introduce you to Joe." And he said, Joe was playing the Negro Leagues. And he had this great success in the Negro Leagues. And now his grandson's playing this game. And he starts telling me he had met Joe, and he was to have this great interaction. And you know, as a 17-year-old, I'm not sure I fully appreciated that. But looking back, it was such a model for me. My dad was just somebody who would talk to anybody. And what I learned from that was you can learn a lot from other people. And what it takes is sort of reaching out to somebody that may not, you know, think is exactly the same as you or whatever, that you can learn a lot from that. So that was, you know, and if I wasn't playing sports, I wouldn't have been introduced to that experience or my teammates that I had, and realizing that, hey, we're all fighting for a common cause here. So I just think sports can teach, especially for young people, is really, really important. It's got so specialized now, where it's, you know, three sport athletes, they don't, you know, it's not encouraged as much, but whatever you're doing, any sport that you're participating in, I think is, and even now, Jason, I didn't think we were going to talk about sports this much, but I'm glad we are. It's unifying, you know, just as a fan. I'm a huge St. Louis baseball Cardinal fan, and, you know, and it brings people together. I play on the congressional baseball team. I'm not sure what people think happens over here, but you know, the Senate kind of does its thing and the House sort of does its thing. So when we have practices at 5:45 in the morning, I get to know those House members that are out there. And it's just, when you're doing something, I think you build relationships with people that you share common experiences with. And sports gives you that kind of common experience that, that breaks down a lot of walls that might exist otherwise.
You're listening to Jason in the House. Stay with us. We'll be back with more of our conversation with Senator Schmidt right after this.
Hey, Chili, why are you so excited?
Yeah, our biggest deal of the year is rocking.
Kelvin, you don't seem as excited. What's up?
I guess all good things have to come to an end. And that cost ends April 30th. So that's kind of tough.
It's okay, Kelvin. We can always help people.
Well, yes, but it's just this at cost program is one good deal. And I love helping people get more out of their money, like the old days.
Kelvin, did they even have AC when you were my age? Sorry about that.
Anyway, here's to hoping we can help as many people as possible before April 30th.
At cost pricing, only from Redding Heating and Air. This month only through April 30th. Visit reddingheatingair.com. Old fashioned service. Modern day solutions.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, they got the money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit plumasbank.com.
Cool April Nights kicks off this Friday with our downtown event, Spring Fest, including a walkabout blues concert, 4 to 9 p.m. Make sure to go to coolaprilnights.com for a full schedule of events. Over 50 show and shines this year, 3 concerts, and 10 days of classic car fun. That's Cool April Nights Spring Fest downtown kickoff this Friday for Cool April Nights. 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. downtown Reading, right on Market Street. CoolLaborNights.com for a full downloadable schedule of events.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
When Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974, Vice President Gerald Ford took the oath of office administered by Chief Justice Warren Burger in the East Room of the White House.
Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule, but there is a higher power. By whatever name, we honor him, who ordains not only righteousness, but love, not only justice, but mercy. As we bind up the internal wounds of Watergate, more painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
In an election year, many people ask which polls I trust. So let me share some basic guidelines. Arguably, the most important thing is look for polls that use probability-based or random sampling. That gives the best chance the results reflect the broader population. Whether the sample is all adults or a list of registered voters, and whether interviewing is on the phone, online, or by mail, or a combination of those, you want a truly random sample. You should easily be able to find that information. If you can't, don't trust the results. That's how important transparency is. Transparency applies to things like the dates the survey was conducted, how many people were interviewed, the margin of error, what questions were asked, and who sponsored the research. Is it nonpartisan? All those things matter. Even then, not all polls are equal. Finally, avoid opt-in or self-select online polls. Those are just for entertainment. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Jason in the House.
What position were you playing on that baseball team?
So playing in the outfield. So I'm usually hitting somewhere in the middle of the order and playing left field. And it's a blast. I mean, I joked with Blake Moore, who's also in the outfield, that this is what I really wanted to do with my life, was playing, be in a major league stadium with 30,000 people on that congressional baseball game. So it's a lot of fun. Republicans, we've been pretty dominant the last few years. But, you know, there's just other stuff. Like, Cruz has a pickup basketball game from time to time, and we played Secretary Hegseth and a couple of his guys. There's just something, or, you know, I get to play golf with the president. There's just conversations that you have on a golf course or after a ball game or something that they're very familiar to me. I've kind of lived that my whole life. So it's even in this setting now, which seems very strange to me still, in Washington. It's, you know, you can bond with people in that way. And I think that, again, opens doors to conversations that aren't, you know, that you might not have had otherwise.
I've had the opportunity to golf with the president, and it is, it was so fun. It was such a, it was an honor. But it was so fun. He's so good. I mean, the guy,
he's good.
Hits it right down the middle, and yeah. He can putt. That guy can putt. I can tell you, he loves putting. I was saying, oh, that's good, Mr. President. And he looked at me like he was almost mad at me, you know, like, oh, you don't think I can make this. So he drains it. Then he goes in, picks up the ball, throws it further away, and says, all right, watch this. And then he drains it again. And it was just like, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I played with him. Yeah, where he'll have chip shots off the green, that he's made for birdie. People ask me, you know, what kind of golfer he is. You're right. He really never misses a fairway. His iron play is good. He's really good around the greens. And like you said, he's actually a very, very good putter. And so so it's fun. As you know, those carts move very fast. He plays fast. You can finish a round in less than 3 hours, maybe. And it's a lot of fun. You get to
have breakfast or lunch. Depends how many stories he wants to tell, because he will stop. He will stop and tell you a 10-minute story. And, you know, nobody's going to be, you're not getting pushed from behind or anything else. He kind of goes on Trump time. But it is super fun that way. And, you know, we had a beautiful day, and it was just a good time. I wish I could do it more often.
It was a great time.
I'm sure everybody does, but yeah. Okay.
And
so
you got to play fast. You know that, Jason. You got to play fast. Yeah, that's right.
That was the hardest thing I had. The point that made me the most nervous. There's one time where we hit our drives, and I'm not kidding you. Our balls were maybe 4 or 5 inches apart from each other. They were that close. They were like right next to each other. So he looks down. Mine's on the left. His is on the right. And then he just kicks mine. And it was so funny. Like, people, he looked at me, and I just started laughing, and he started laughing, like, all right, that was pretty funny. But then he hits and gets in the cart and starts driving, and I'm like, I'm not that good, Mr. President. Like, I'm so scared, because he's, you know, 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, and I got a hit, and I'm like, please. Please do not hit the president of the United States. He's a sitting president of the United States. I'm like, please don't hit him.
Yeah.
And I fortunately hit over his cart as he was on his way up
there
to the green.
There you go. You're clutch, Jason. Oh, you're clutch.
Oh, no. It scared me so bad. Even on the first hole, he's on the green. I'm in the rough. I got to chip in. And I'm trying to get everybody's attention. Like, because normally you're like, hey, you know, somebody's chipping on, pay attention. No, that was not happening.
He's moving. No, that's
he's
right.
He's moving.
And hone your skill. I play kind of fast anyway, but I think what's funny is those carts, they don't have the governor on the carts that normally, like, lock it in at a speed. Like, you move. And I also think what's great is, like, if I'm at home playing golf with my buddies, like, there's music playing. You know, and
right.
with President, he's got music playing. He's got his playlist. It makes it a lot of fun.
Little Elton John going. Yes.
That's right.
But, you know, I'm so glad, because I think with that intense of a job, we didn't talk about policy or this, that. He told golf stories and fun stories. And
right.
He would ask about, like, I asked him how he got into golf and all that. And that's what he was in a happy place. We didn't get into, oh, tell me about the, you know, reconciliation. We weren't doing any of that.
More Jason in the House next. My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A 75-year-old man from New York City was arrested and charged with murder, accused of killing his much younger wife and dumping her dismembered remains throughout the borough of Queens. Ruptan Simbu was charged with second-degree murder, two counts of concealment of a human corpse, and evidence tampering in the connection with the killing of his 33-year-old wife, Salisha Ali. Ali was last seen alive July 13th. The Queens District Attorney says Simbu and Ali were home together that day. The next morning, she didn't show up for work. Cops recovered Ali's severed head, legs, and arm earlier this month in the Jamaica Wildlife Refuge as they followed cell phone app data that showed Simbu was in the swamping area last summer. Ali's decomposing torso had been found near JFK Airport back in September in a blanket wrapped with yellow rope. A search warrant of Ali's home uncovered plastic wrap and the same yellow rope. If convicted, Simbu faces 25 years to life in prison. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This is House Call for Health. A new study shows more people with a high school diploma or less education are dying from medically preventable causes compared to those with at least a college degree. Researchers say those who were less educated see doctors less often, even if they have chronic illnesses that put them at a greater risk of death. The study, analyzing more than 476,000 Americans from 1996 to 2022, finding that those without a college degree had a 144% greater rate of medically preventable death. That's up from a 71% gap in preventable deaths in 2001. Cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and to the Affordable Care Act could make those numbers grow. A lead researcher says it's always been a belief that inequalities in housing, nutrition, and exposure to hazards underlie the high death rates of less privileged Americans. The study was reported in the American Journal of Public Health. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The house. You're doing athletics. Comes time to go to college. You got to actually play in college. Where did you got your law degree? Where did that come from?
I realized that I couldn't hit a major league slider, so I decided to go to law school.
Why law?
You know, for me, I didn't know any lawyers growing up. It's a good question. I didn't know any lawyers growing up. In fact, when I applied to law school, I'm not sure. Even in college, I don't know that I actually knew any lawyers. But to me, the law, at a young age, the law, I viewed the law as providing structure for people to pursue their dreams. I also appreciated as a student, the kind of design of our republic and the structure that was created through, you know, separation of powers and federalism, this kind of vertical and horizontal structure that protected individual liberty. So I had an appreciation for that, and that's what I wanted to do. And I thought, you know, arguing in the courtroom was something I could do, and so that's what I did. I went to law school and got out of school and practiced at a law firm, and that was great. I loved it. I loved practicing law, and then I became a dad. I married my college sweetheart, Jamie, and then I became a parent. And our first child, Stephen, was born. And at about 5 months, you know, we noticed like an angel, it was almost like an angel wing birthmark on his leg. And we didn't think a lot of it. And I joke that we thought so little of it, Jamie let me take Stephen to the dermatologist. And I got in there, and the dermatologist.
You rather than your wife? Yes.
yeah, right, exactly. And so we went in there, and she turned the light off and you know, flipped the black light on, or whatever the technical term is, and there were more of those on his body. Hmm. And she said he probably has something called tuberous sclerosis, and I had no idea what that was. And it's basically, it's a genetic condition where tubers form on different organs, and Stephen went through a lot of testing. He had them on, you know, his liver, or he has on his kidneys, on his heart, behind his eyes, and his brain, which has affected him the most developmentally. So Stephen is an awesome kid. Stephen's 21 years old, but he's nonverbal to this day and relies on us. And so going through that, that's given me a lot of perspective that I take with me to this job, but when he, you know, he would have epilepsy is how he's most medically affected. So Stephen still has seizures nearly daily. And in those early years, he was having them a lot, including like a 4-hour seizure.
Wow.
And I remember being
so
in the ER. You're totally helpless, you know. And so then he was in the ICU they finally got the 4-hour seizure to stop before they induced a coma. He's in the ICU for, you know, over a week.
Then he's how old?
He was 4 years old, three years old, something like that. And so he's just a baby. He's just a little kid. And and he's got all these tubes hooked up. And, you know, I've always been a person of faith. And I think my faith converged with that moment. And then my appreciation for our country, and just felt like there was something more for me to do. I went through this process of discernment, like, what do you want to do with your life kind of question. And for me, it was running for office. So I think I was 30 years old, 31 years old, which I think is the youngest you can be to run for the state Senate. I ran for the state Senate from the St. Louis area in a district where Barack Obama won by 8 points and I won by 10.
Wow.
It was like an area of like 200,000 people. So that was my, and hindsight ended up being my closest race, I guess, to date, knock on wood, but. So I served in the state Senate, got some stuff done, first tax cut in 100 years, worked on autism-related stuff, and, you know, my passion to, you know, Stephen inspired me to run, and so that's always been something I've focused on, too, people with individuals with disabilities. You know, Sean Duffy and I have talked about this, too, you know, his family story, and so that inspired me to get into politics, and then one thing led to another. I became attorney general in Missouri as Republicans kind of broke through. Became a redder state, and you know, as Attorney General, we, especially when Biden was in office, we took on the censorship regime, the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates, the debt forgiveness scam, and won a lot of big important cases. And then the Senate seat opened up when Roy Blunt retired in 2022, ran for that in a 21-person primary, and won, and here I am. So I'm just really
21 people.
That's crazy.
A lot.
It was the first time, Jason, where Missouri was considered to be a red state in an open Senate seat. So it was like when Hawley ran 4 years before me, he was running against Claire McCaskill, right? Kind of one of the last Democrats to have statewide office in Missouri. So there wasn't a primary there. Now, this one, when Blunt retired, it was a big, wide open primary. And
Why did you win? What was the difference between you?
I think what
there's some. I'm sure there are other good quality people running, but why?
Yeah,
why do you think you were elected?
I think that what people saw is that somebody that just didn't just talk about things, but actually took action and fought back and was a fighter. I think that's what people want it right now. Is they want people they see. All the, especially when I was running, they saw the craziness that was happening all around them, the wide open border, an administration that was trying to censor Americans because they had the, you know, wrong point of view on the origin of COVID, or masking that was happening, this Orwellian scheme that happened during COVID, the overreach of the federal government. And I stood up in times when a lot of people didn't, and I fought back and we won. And I think people wanted a fighter, and so I'm just really grateful, you know, to be in this position that I'm in now.
So you get to the Senate. How is it different than maybe what you thought it was going to be like?
Well, listen, it's a great job. I would say I didn't realize that Republican senators have lunch together every day. I didn't know that. So we're together a lot.
It's a lot of salad bar right there.
That's a lot. And, you know, one day you're sitting next to Susan Collins, the next day you're sitting next to Rand Paul, right? And so it's like, it's a, you know, you can learn a lot. I would say that the biggest surprise in a negative way, I guess, Jason, is that I think people think there's a lot more activity on the floor, that senators are out there debating things, offering amendments, building coalitions on the floor, on the fly, and that's not really how it works. It's getting better. I think John Thune and the Republicans now have opened things up more to what's referred to as regular order, which right. I think is a good thing. But what you don't want to have is this kabuki theater where it's just leadership deciding everything and it's all very scripted and choreographed. I don't like that. Chuck Schumer, my first 2 years, that's what he did. He ended up with these omnibus bills people hadn't read. It was put together by just a couple people. I don't like that. And so how much more for opening the place up, having real substantive debate, and I think that we're making some progress on that. But on the positive side, look, you can have an impact. And I think Missourians have always been skeptical of a government 1,000 miles away telling them how to live their lives. That's right. Just kind of the DNA of our state. And so I take that perspective here. I also take the perspective I had as Attorney General when I fought back a lot against a lot of the excesses of the federal government. So, you know, that certainly informs my point of view and some of the fights that I've taken on as a senator now, too.
If you could wave your magic wand and change something about this, change something about the Senate. Again, you're a freshman. You're still, you know, compared to Senator Grassley, right, who's been there for a long time. What would you change?
I would say that I wish we had more vehicles, and this is a very, you know, technical kind of in the weeds down in the mature audience, but I wish we had more vehicles moving on the floor. We would legislate more, because what happens is if you only have a couple of things all year that are quote unquote must pass bills, everybody tries to load up everything on them, and it just leads to frustration. And then what happens is people act out in different ways. Whereas I think if you had an opportunity to put your idea forth or offer an amendment or do whatever, you win, you lose. That is that's cathartic in some ways, right? You had your shot. And if you never feel like you got a shot for something that you think is really important for your state or something that as a conservative we've been fighting for years, that leads to frustration. I mean, one of the things I'm grateful for, you know, the White House had sort of tapped me to handle the rescissions package. It's the first time in 30 years we've done this, which is basically we cut out a lot of wasteful spending, billions of dollars, and that was a vehicle. And my feeling was I don't want to alter anybody's ability to offer amendments. Everybody, Democrats, offer your amendments. Let them come on. Let them stay off. And I think that was a good model, and we were able to get it done for the first time. We, you know, defunded NPR. We've been talking about that for 50 years. We finally did that in the rescissions package, and all this crazy USAID stuff, you know, the Guatemalan sex changes and the DEI in Burma. We got rid of all of that. So I think that was something to build on. So anyway, that was gratifying. It was successful. And I think something that we can be proud of. We should do more of those kind of things.
No, I think you're right. I think leadership. I wish there was an exercise, a genuine exercise of what is the role of quote unquote leadership? Because my experience was in the House of Representatives. I think there's far in the, you know, I look at what leaders are doing in the Senate. There's far too much, too many expectations that, particularly with close margins, that a speaker is going to be able to pass a bill. It's like you gave him no tools, right? We got rid of earmarks, which I think was the right public policy. But what are they supposed to do to cajole you? And it's funny, I think Republicans are in some ways worse than Democrats in this regard. They expect the leaders to just pass something. But they simultaneously say, "Oh no, we have the right to self-determination, and we're not going to follow the leader. We're gonna vote however, you know, whatever's best for the state and the people you represent." Those are contrasting viewpoints, and consequently, in order to avoid any tough vote. They just don't vote. Yeah, and I'm that's not what they're there for.
I agree with that, Jason. I do think there's something to this idea that you have to build in the muscle memory to actually just take tough votes. I mean, that's what we're sent here to do.
Exactly.
You know, and part of the problem with the legislative branch is willingly giving away too much of its power to the administrative state. I mean, that's the one piece that the founders never saw coming, I would argue, because they thought we would jealously guard, each branch would jealously guard its power, especially the Article I legislative branch. But too many politicians over the years have said, they wanted to have the ability to say, I voted for the greatest bill in the world, but then 3 years later say, but I can't believe what the EPA just did. You know, you got to, like, reclaim this authority and then let the electorate judge you on those votes. The idea that you're going to avoid all the hard issues and not take tough votes, I think is cowardly, and I think it's antithetical to the design that the founders envisioned, where this is a system of self-government, but that people have a chance to say they're going to send somebody there or send them back or send them home. But the only way that really works is if people, you know, you're kind of saying, I'm for this, I'm not for this, and let the chips fall where they may.
Senator, we're thrilled that you're in this role. I said at the beginning of the podcast, you got to watch what Senator Schmidt's doing. You need to follow him on X and everything else, because you're really making a difference. I think you're a big part of the future for the Republican Party. Love your energy and enthusiasm and the smarts that go along with it. So hats off to the people of Missouri to sending you there. And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. We thank Senator Schmidt for his time. Very generous of him. Super talented guy. Keep your eye on him. You're going to want to follow him on X and other things. But really, really smart, smart guy. And a great background. Just perfect for what we need in the United States Senate. So, Senator Schmidt, thanks for joining us. I'd appreciate if you could rate the podcast. That'd be helpful. You can subscribe to it so it shows up every Monday in your box. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. We got a library of a couple hundred really cool podcasts. I encourage you to go back, have a look, have some fun. Really interesting stories along the way. Again, rate the podcast. We would appreciate it. And thanks for joining us. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
All right, folks, as we approach Liberty Island, you'll see the iconic Statue of Liberty, standing tall at over 300 feet. The torch in her hand symbolizes a beacon of hope that's held up by her very wavy arm.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay, or Avacincaptad Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. It's proven to slow GA progression and could preserve your remaining vision for longer, so you can keep seeing the world around you. Don't take Izervay if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't wait for your vision changes to progress. Ask your retina specialist about Izervay today. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff, with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington.
President Trump making a strong announcement this morning. He says the U.S. Navy will immediately begin a blockade to stop ships from entering or leaving the Strait of Hormuz. This decision follows 21 hours of failed U.S.-Iranian peace talks in Pakistan yesterday. Mr. Trump aims to control the waterway, which is crucial for global oil supply. He's also instructed the Navy to intercept vessels paying tolls to Iran on the high seas, saying Iran must not benefit from what it's doing. Economist Steve Moore is urging patience as the Iranian war plays out.
Stay the course, folks. This is painful. I don't like paying $4.25 a gallon at the pump, but it is going to be a temporary situation. And when we come out of this, hopefully we will have a more peaceful, more prosperous world.
He's with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity and made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. Allies are pulling support from Democrat Eric Swalwell's California governor's run after sexual assault allegations.
On Friday, the congressman taking to his X account, denying allegations he sexually assaulted a woman who worked for him.
These allegations of sexual assault are flat false. They are absolutely false.
Swalwell, among the leading Democrats in the race to replace Governor Gavin Newsom, a likely presidential candidate who calls the allegations from multiple sources deeply troubling and says they must be taken seriously. The San Francisco Chronicle reporting the woman said Swalwell sexually assaulted her in 2019 and 2024. I'm Julie Walker.
A federal judge has extended an emergency restraining order on a $6.2 billion merger between Nexstar Media Group and Tegna for 1 week. District Judge Troy Nunley says the extension will give him time to consider if a longer block on the massive deal is needed. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-583-0141. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-583-0141. That's 800-583-0141. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Artemis II's moon-traveling astronauts are back home and receiving a thunderous welcome, still marveling over their record-breaking lunar fly-around. The crew of four flew to Houston's Ellington Field from San Diego Saturday afternoon. After a quick reunion with their families, the astronauts took the stage, surrounded by hundreds who took part in NASA's historic lunar comeback. The three Americans and one Canadian splashed down in the Pacific on Friday. During their 10-day mission, they voyaged deeper into space than the Apollo explorers decades ago. China has announced it will resume some ties with Taiwan, including direct flights and import of Taiwanese aquaculture products. The decision follows a visit by Taiwan's opposition leader. China's Communist Party says it will explore setting up a communications mechanism with the opposition, much to the chagrin of the elected government in Taiwan. China has also offered to build a bridge connecting the mainland to Taiwanese islands. News and analysis at townhall.com. New Yorkers are flocking to a Manhattan park for a show put on by a flock of birds.
The American woodcock, a tiny bird that seemingly dances around, has become the star attraction in New York City's Bryant Park as hordes of onlookers stop by each day to see it, including Yale University professor Bill Rankin.
It's a very charismatic bird. I mean, it's goofy looking. It's got eyes that are always looking at you no matter where you are. It does its nice little dance when it's nervous. Having two of them together is a kind of nice little, you know, romantic story of spring and everything.
The woodcocks are known to stop by Manhattan's Bryant Park every year as they migrate north in early spring. Julie Walker, New York.
Today is Sunday, April the 12th, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including musician Herbie Hancock. He's 86 years old. TV host David Letterman is 79. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Fox News Podcast presents the Brett Baer Podcast with Fox News Chief Political Anchor Brett Baer.
President Trump says he is very optimistic that a peace deal with Iran is within reach. The president making that comment to NBC News a short time ago. Iran, meantime, insists the Strait of Hormuz is open. This comes amid a fragile ceasefire that has been complicated by Israeli attacks on Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon. Israel and Lebanon are now expected to talk next week at the State Department in Washington, D.C. In-person talks between the U.S. and Iran are scheduled to begin Saturday in Islamabad, Pakistan. Vice President J.D. Vance leads the U.S. team. Senior White House correspondent Jackie Heinrich starts us off tonight from the North Lawn. Good evening, Jackie.
Good evening, Brett. President Trump reacting to reports that Iran is charging tolls for tankers to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, saying they better not be, and if they are, they better stop now. The development's coming as the early stages of the ceasefire appear to be holding. An Indian-flagged LNG carrier passing through the Strait of Hormuz Thursday, among the first signs Iran is, so far, holding up its end of the ceasefire bargain.
Anybody who communicates with the Iranian authority has got permission from yesterday.
Coordination necessary because of mines in the strait, Iran's deputy foreign minister confirmed.
Those technical restrictions are very much connected to the wartime condition, and it takes time to be removed. So safe passage is secured. We have maps, we have everything that, you know, we have to be careful that, you know, the safe passage of tankers and vessels and well-being of crews are actually met during this passage.
President Trump revealing he personally played a part in facilitating Iran's demand that the ceasefire also apply to Israel's strikes on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon, telling NBC, "I spoke with Bibi and he's going to low-key it. I think we just have to be sort of a little more low-key." But while the fragile ceasefire holds, Trump also made clear in a post the pause could be lifted at any moment, saying in part, all U.S. ships, aircraft, and military personnel with additional ammunition, weaponry, and anything else that is appropriate and necessary will remain in place in and around Iran until such time as the real agreement reached is fully complied with. If for any reason it is not, which is highly unlikely, then the shooting starts, bigger and better and stronger than anyone has ever seen before.
A two-week ceasefire is not sufficient.
House Democrats, meantime, are dead set on stopping any additional military action, saying they only need two more Republican signatures to stop the president with the War Powers Act.
We need a permanent end to Donald Trump's costly and reckless war of choice. And House Democrats are committed to bringing about that outcome.
Minority Leader Jeffries says Democrats will force a vote when Congress returns. So still not many details into the 15-point U.S. plan or the new 10-point Iranian proposal being discussed in Islamabad this weekend. There's also not much daylight into the proposed joint tolling venture with Iran that the president said he might entertain. But the U.K. is leveling its opposition to the idea of any tolling in the strait, saying Iran cannot be allowed to introduce them. Brett.
And Jackie, First Lady Melania Trump made this unexpected public address denying close ties to Jeffrey Epstein and calling on Congress to hold a hearing for survivors. Do you know what spurred that?
Not yet, Brett. The Epstein story has been largely out of the news, and it's not clear yet what motivated the First Lady to address what she called lies and false smears about her.
to be clear, I never had a relationship with Epstein or his accomplice, Maxwell. I am not Epstein's victim. Epstein did not introduce me to Donald Trump. I met my husband by chance at the New York City party in 1998.
First Lady also said she had no knowledge of Epstein's abuse to his victims. White House officials were unable to provide any context, and they did not answer when we asked if President Trump was aware this statement would be coming. The First Lady's office said they're going to let her words stand on their own. Brad.
Okay. Jackie Heinrich, live in the North Lawn. Jackie, thank you. As we told you earlier, Iran says the Strait of Hormuz is now open, and Israel will begin discussions with Lebanon next week in Washington over its bombing campaign against Hezbollah terrorists. Senior correspondent Mike Tobin in Tel Aviv tonight.
Following 2 days of reinvigorated airstrikes into Lebanon, that country's president said the only solution is a ceasefire, followed by talks with Israel. Israel's prime minister announced talks are planned.
To achieve two goals. First, the disarmament of Hezbollah. Second, an historic and sustainable peace agreement between Israel and Lebanon.
Israel claims to have killed 200 Hezbollah terrorists and struck crossings used to transfer weapons and missile launchers, and claims it assassinated a personal secretary to Hezbollah's new leader, Naim Qassem. But the intensified Israeli air campaign threatens the fragile ceasefire with Iran. Iran's president, Masoud Pezeshkian, posting, such actions signal deception and noncompliance, rendering negotiations meaningless. 40 days since Ayatollah Ali Khamenei was killed in joint U.S.-Israeli strikes, pro-regime demonstrators take to the streets.
America is the great Satan. Our martyred leader always said we cannot negotiate with America.
The first oil tanker crossed the Strait of Hormuz since the ceasefire. A total of 9 vessels passed through the waterway, critical to negotiations. U.S. naval ships and 50,000 U.S. warfighters sit on pause. CENTCOM Commander Admiral Brad Cooper congratulated them for 13,000 strikes that devastated weapons stores and the military industrial base Iran spent 40 years building.
At the beginning of this campaign, I sent a letter to the force expressing my expectations, and our extraordinary warfighters exceeded each and every one of them.
The talks with Israel and Lebanon will be held next week in the U.S. at State Department headquarters. The negotiators will be the ambassadors for both nations. Brett, back to you.
Mike, thank you. European diplomats tell Reuters NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte is briefing allies. The President Trump wants concrete commitments on security for the Strait of Hormuz within the next few days. This comes amid serious tensions between the alliance and its most important member. Senior foreign policy correspondent Jillian Turner has that part of the story from the State Department.
NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte is still in Washington after high-stakes meetings with the President and Secretary of State.
This alliance is not whistling past the graveyard, as you would say in the United States.
He got candid about the rift in the transatlantic alliance over support for the U.S. military during Operation Epic Fury, or lack thereof.
When it came time to provide the logistical and other support the United States needed in Iran, some allies were a bit slow, to say the least. In fairness, they were also a bit surprised.
European diplomats tout Rutte as a so-called Trump whisperer, but he's not saying whether the president plans to actually withdraw from the alliance. Critics are calling the president's threats to do so illegal, insisting the move would require an act of Congress.
This is the most successful military and diplomatic alliance in the history of the world. And the president in real time is trying to dismantle it.
NATO Article 5 calls an armed attack against one member an attack against all and triggers a collective defense. It has been invoked just once in history on behalf of the United States after the 9/11 attacks. But that was 25 years ago.
And I have to tell you, I'm very disappointed in NATO. Very. I think it's a mark on NATO that will never disappear. Never disappear in my mind. You know, they're coming to see me on Wednesday. They're going to say, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that. Now they all of a sudden want to send things, you know.
Thousands of NATO soldiers later gave their lives fighting alongside America in Afghanistan. President Trump and his cabinet have been considering potential options to seek retaliation against some NATO members, countries they say have been unhelpful during Operation Epic Fury. Reuters has an exclusive. They're reporting the president might actually order the Pentagon to pull troops from some NATO bases, Brett.
We'll follow that, Jillian. Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
All right, folks, as we approach Liberty Island, you'll see the iconic Statue of Liberty, standing tall at over 300 feet. The torch in her hand symbolizes a beacon of hope that's held up by her very wavy arm.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. It's proven to slow GA progression and could preserve your remaining vision for longer, so you can keep seeing the world around you. Don't take IZERVAY if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't wait for your vision changes to progress. Ask your retina specialist about IZERVAY today. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
This is House Call for Health. New medical guidance advises millions of Americans to be proactive about their cholesterol health. The American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology, and other medical organizations recently publishing a report with guidelines focused on controlling blood lipid levels, including cholesterol and triglycerides. The guidelines recommend people with high cholesterol or family history of heart disease start treating it as early as age 30. The data shows that reducing LDL cholesterol levels from a younger age has positive cardiovascular outcomes. Medications called statins, along with healthy diet and exercise, are recommended treatments. The previous 2018 guideline calculated people's heart attack and stroke risk in the next 10 years. However, the more recent report calculates risk over the next 30 years. The AHA says 1 in 4 U.S. adults have a high form of bad LDL cholesterol, a risk factor for heart attack and stroke. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
It turns out the happiest place on earth is not Disney World, but Finland. According to the recently released World Happiness Report from Oxford University and Gallup, the Northern European nation ranked highest overall. The survey's authors say Nordic countries ranked in the top 10 because they used their oil wealth to create welfare states that protect people from economic risk, leaving more time for social activities. One resident, Rosa Arnold, says it's about being optimistic.
I think you just have to be hopeful and positive.
What does God say about being happy? How does God measure our happiness? Turns out, nowhere in the Bible does God promise us happiness. That's an emotion dependent on our situation, which usually fluctuates from day to day or moment by moment. God's directive is to be holy. Because we are made in His image, holiness brings a joy and contentment independent of any of life's ups and downs. To find out more, go to foxnews.com. For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green,
Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Joe DiMaggio was named the greatest living player in a 1969 poll of sports writers. He took the great American pastime of baseball to new heights during his career and defined the term sports hero in the 40s and 50s. Jolden Joe was known for the power of his batting. After World War II, he became a national hero, and even people who didn't like the New York Yankees liked Joe. He announced his retirement in 1952.
I said last spring, I thought this would be my last year. I wish I could have had a better year, but even if I had hit 350, this would have been my last year for me anyway. You all know I've had my share of injuries and setbacks during my career. In recent years, these have been too frequent to laugh off. When baseball is no longer fun, it's no longer a game. And so, I've played my last game of ball.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
Well, we have an agreement with the Iranians that they're going to open the Straits of Hormuz and that we'll have a ceasefire.
I'll have a vote to end this war because the ceasefire is a joke.
Iran's in a better place with respect to the Strait than they were before this war started.
They've got to unconditionally open the Strait of Hormuz, and they've got to commit to ending the sowing of violence.
We still have leverage to it, and the leverage is simply this. The deadline is 2 weeks. We hold to the deadline.
Straightening out the Strait. Is it open? Is it not? What's going on with this deal? The president issued a Truth Social saying Iran is doing a very poor job, dishonorable, some would say, of allowing oil to go through the Strait of Hormuz. That is not the agreement we have, President Donald J. Trump. Here's the deputy foreign minister of Iran.
The Strait of Hormuz is open. Of course, there are technical restrictions because of the war zone. This is why that all the ships that they would like to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, they have to communicate with our army and our military contact points there because of the limitations in this strait. And this strait is a very narrow strait.
Well, with that, let's bring in our panel. Fox News contributor Ben Domenech, host of the Big Ben podcast. Mary Catherine Hamm, Fox News contributor, and Democratic campaign consultant Kevin Walling. Okay, Ben, what do you make of all this?
Well, I think the president is clearly sending a message that he wants and expects the Iranians to live up to their side of what was within this ceasefire agreement from the get-go, which is the kind of thing that the markets responded to. The strait being open is of the utmost importance to him, and he views that as a precedent for any kind of future negotiations that could lead to a ceasing of hostilities in the long term. I just think that there's no reason at this point, Brett, to put any faith in the Iranians. I understand that the president feels like he's talking to people who are treating this more objectively with more clarity than the people he was talking to before, but there's just no reason that we should trust them to live up to their obligations after so many years of experiencing the opposite.
Meantime, Mary Catherine, the NATO Secretary General is saying the European countries have heard President Trump. Take a listen.
Let's consider the most recent events. When it came time to provide the logistical and other support the United States needed in Iran, some allies were a bit slow, to say the least. In fairness, they were also a bit surprised. To maintain the element of surprise for the initial strikes, President Trump opted not to inform allies ahead of time, and I understand that. But what I see when I look across Europe today is allies providing a massive amount of support, basing, logistics, and other measures to ensure the powerful U.S. military succeeds in denying Iran a nuclear weapon and degrading its capacity to export chaos.
So, I mean, yeah. Is there hope maybe that they're going to come around?
I think Ruta gets Trump, and his message to him is more likely to land than, say, a Macron. I understand Trump's frustrations, and I share some of them, particularly when it comes to opening airspace and air bases and that kind of thing. However, when you are doing something and you need immediate help, I think his strong-arming has helped to make those countries invest in their own military over the long term. But when you need immediate help, sometimes you've got to play the good cop. That is part of statecraft, and I think a little bit more of that along the way would be helpful to getting them along. As far as trusting these guys in a negotiation, as Ben was noting, we have this upcoming with several unreliable partners in the room, Pakistan and Iran. But I'm heartened by the fact that Trump in the past has already in negotiations with Iran, when they try to get squirrely, when they try to renege as they always do, that he has been willing to restart, to strike, and hopefully he will be again, because you have to hold that line.
The vice president leading that team, Kevin, in Islamabad, and he talked about how Israel now is going to talk with Lebanon about what's happening in Hezbollah. Here he is.
The Israelis, as I understand it, again, I'm supposed to get a fuller report when I get on the plane, have actually offered to be, frankly, to check themselves a little bit in Lebanon because they want to make sure that our negotiation is successful. That's not because that is part of the ceasefire.
So there'll be talks in D.C. at the State Department between Israel and Lebanon, and there'll be talks in Islamabad with the Vice President, Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, and the Iranians.
Yeah, Brett. I mean, trust is everything, and there is quite a fundamental lack of it. Let's not forget that Lebanon and Israel have been in a de facto state of war going back to 1948. And of course, obviously, the Israelis are super focused on taking on Hezbollah, as they have even before this war started 6 weeks ago. It's been a key focus of theirs, an important focus of theirs, because of the nature of the rockets that still come across Israel's northern border. But of course, negotiations are important. This is a first step. The lead for that is going to be the Israeli ambassador to the United States, our ambassador to Lebanon, and we'll see who Beirut sends next week to engage in those conversations. But certainly a good step forward to see some kind of positive outcome with that northern border situation with Israel.
Meantime, Ben, the First Lady comes out and delivers this message about Epstein and lies linking her to disgraceful Jeffrey Epstein. She has this pretty long statement in which she also calls for public hearings. Take a listen.
I call on Congress to provide the women who have been victimized by Epstein with a public hearing specifically centered around the survivors. Give these victims their opportunity to testify under oath in front of Congress with the power of sworn testimony. Each and every woman should have her day to tell her story in public if she wishes, and then her testimony should be permanently entered into the congressional record. Then, and only then, we will have the truth.
President Trump told NBC he didn't know that the First Lady was going to do this before she did. What about this message in the middle of all of this?
Well, it was certainly surprising. I mean, you know, I was talking to people who were covering the White House, including, several White House correspondents about this, about how much it came out of left field. The First Lady clearly is very passionate about it and feels personally offended and insulted by what she views as fake news reports that have gone and circled around this, including potentially, you know, ones that she anticipated. But moving at this particular time to put this subject back into center stage, I'm not sure that the rest of the White House press team was expecting that or ready for it. We'll see how this plays out going forward. I will say that for the women who she's talking about testifying in front of Congress, that under oath part plays both ways. And there's some people who have had, I think, you know, situations where they've been able to claim a lot of things without being under oath. We'll see how many people stand up and are willing to do that.
Mary Catherine, AP has a headline, Pam Bondi won't appear for House deposition next week in the Epstein investigation. Just interesting timing on all of this for the First Lady's statement.
Yeah, I'm sure she seems passionate about it. I'm sure that the president and many of his staff are not excited to have this thrown back out there again. Many of the folks I think that she's referring to were in a Super Bowl ad. They have been public, and I think that yes, in a different area under oath, there might be different details that we would find out.
Last word, Kevin.
It was certainly a surprising statement. We don't often hear from the First Lady, but there was passion in her voice, especially for the victims. I still think you see bipartisan support to have now the former Attorney General before the Oversight Committee, and we'll see how that continues to play out.
Okay, panel. Thanks.
We'll be back with more right after this.
May 26 marks 250 years of America, and throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com. This is Fox News Talk.
Headlines Rewind.
1992.
Today, we have closed the book on apartheid, and that chapter is finally closed.
I experimented with marijuana at a time of change, and I didn't like it and didn't inhale.
It's sad to see the community that I grew up in go up in flames like this. It really is.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along?
It doesn't help matters when primetime TV has Murphy Brown, a character who supposedly epitomizes today's intelligent, highly paid professional woman, mocking the importance of fathers by bearing a child alone.
It has been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes all these years and enter. You. I bid you a very heartfelt good night.
Dade County, as we know it, especially from the Kendall area south, is never going to be the same. It is fundamentally destroyed.
News as it happens then,
news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. You're a personal astrophysicist.
Hey, everyone, it's Phil Simms.
Hey, everyone, it's Danica McKellar.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Jeremiah Brown.
Hey, everyone, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm John Taffer.
I'm Jennifer Eden.
Hey, everybody, it's Kevin Nealon.
It's Mr. Wonderful here, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard, if the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
After a Soviet arms buildup in Cuba, President John Kennedy addressed the American people with the world on the brink.
This sudden, clandestine decision to station strategic weapons for the first time outside of Soviet soil is a deliberately provocative and unjustified change in the status quo, which cannot be accepted by this country if our courage and our commitments are ever to be trusted again by either friend or foe. The 1930s taught us a clear lesson. Aggressive conduct, if allowed to go unchecked and unchallenged, ultimately leads to war. This nation is opposed to war. We are also true to our word. Our unswerving objective, therefore, must be to prevent the use of these missiles against this or any other country, and to secure their withdrawal or elimination from the Western Hemisphere.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gian Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. She wrote a children's book about grief after the death of her husband, but now a Utah jury says she's the one responsible for his death. Jurors deliberated for just over 3 hours before finding Corey Richens guilty of first-degree aggravated murder and other charges in the 2022 death of her 39-year-old husband, Eric. It was a three-week trial where prosecutors painted the 35-year-old mother of three as an egotistical social climber who slipped a fatal dose of fentanyl into her husband's Moscow Mule with plans to inherit $4 million after his death, pay off a debt from a failed home flipping business, and start a new life with her lover. She was also found guilty of trying to poison Eric a month earlier on Valentine's Day with a fentanyl-laced sandwich that made him break out in hives and black out. Richens then wrote a children's book called Are You With Me? A year after the poisoning to help her sons process their loss. Richens will be sentenced in May. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
We now return to the Brett Baer Show.
Safe passage is secured. Strait of Hormuz is open.
Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain were all subject to attacks in the first day of this. The strait was not open.
They have said that they're going to start letting many more ships through. We'll watch as the day progresses.
Well, is the Strait of Hormuz open as Iran contends, or isn't it? Joining us tonight, Hoover Institution Senior Fellow Historian Victor Davis Hanson. Victor, thanks for being here. First of all, 30,000 feet. How do you see this right now? What has happened with the ceasefire and what we're seeing out of Iran and the back and forth with the U.S.?
Well, they have a history that can't be trusted, that's for sure. But all the options are on our side if we choose to operate. We've done about $500 billion in damage over a 47-year investment that they've lost. They've got a rescue population. They're going to have to explain to the population when this is over that we're going to spend billions of dollars to rearm at your expense, and you're not going to have affordable food and gas. And we're also going to subsidize Arab terrorists like Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthi. That's going to be very difficult to do. And then if we want to go, we can go. If Donald Trump thinks he has domestic pressures, he can go back. He can go. The second option, Brett, is he can join the European Armada, such as it is. He can provide them air cover and force open the Strait of Hormuz. And the third, of course, is he can say the negotiations are stalled, and here's another deadline, and this time just keep it. And he could take out Karg Island. I think the Chinese would be very angry about that. Or he could take out the dual use. I will say, Brett, there's been a little confusion about this infrastructure, not just World War II or Korea, but Vietnam and as well. The first Gulf War, we hit power plants, we hit communications, we hit transportation, we hit water plants. We did it in Serbia. We destroyed every bridge on the Danube River. We knocked out the power grid of Belgrade, 1.5 million people. Even the misadventure, 7 months in Libya, they said that they weren't going to do that, but they hit civilian ships, port facilities, television stations. So that was kind of a red herring. That's a legitimate target according to our past policies. We could always do that.
You know,
the other thing about NATO, I think people have kind of go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the vice president is leading this team, obviously with Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner in Pakistan and Islamabad for these talks. Now, you know, the strait and being open is a key point. The other key point is the highly enriched uranium and who gets it, how it happens, and, you know, how does it get out of there?
Yes. Yeah, well, it hasn't been determined exactly where it is and which of the two conflicting theories are correct, that they have moved it or they have the ability to move it, or it's deeply embedded and scattered under a mountain. So that has to be adjudicated. And we can't even define what the Strait of Hormuz being open or closed means. Is there has to be a certain number of tankers or a percentage that are allowed in. But those are, if you have overwhelming military power, you can force those concessions. The problem the United States has right now is not military. They can do what they need. It's Donald Trump's political problems. And that is, of course, public opinion on the war in general and his popularity and the people in Congress that need to be reelected in the Republican Party in the midterms, of course, and the economy as well. Those are the pressures that are really that really matter. But militarily, they can do almost anything they want, and they can achieve both of those objectives if they want to. It's just a matter of how much of a political price they're willing to risk.
Right. The Trump Truth Social just earlier before the show said there are reports that Iran is charging fees to tankers going through the Hormuz Strait. They better not be. And if they are, they better stop now, President Donald J. Trump. You know, he communicates via Truth Social a lot of times. He's also telling NATO they need to come up with a concrete plan to help open the strait.
Yeah, I think when General Mattis was CENTCOM commander under the Obama administration, they threatened to do things like that, and he brought a multilateral armada through, and we could. I don't think there's any problem if the Europeans would step up. We could provide air cover or join it. But if they don't want to do it, and the Iranians double down, then we have a list of targets that we can just check off each hour until they want to open it. And if they don't want to open it, they'll take a level of damage that will take a decade to repair. So the problem with the NATO is I think there's a lot of miscommunications. They feel that the United States, this was a singular or unilateral operation. Of course it was, but they do that all the time. We supported France and Chad on a kind of a crazy mission, a post-colonial mission for almost 30 years. And they got us into Libya, and that was a coalition of the willing. I think you could argue the Strait of Hormuz is far more critical to the national security of Europe than the Arab Spring in Libya. We bombed for 7 months for no avail. Kosovo was not in NATO. And they made the argument that the coalition of NATO powers should stop, and I think it was a correct one, stop Milosevic's genocide, but they weren't able to do it. So we stepped in and did 80% of the missions. My only point is that they do this all the time where they have a particular mission and they don't get it approved by the entire membership, and sometimes they act unilaterally or in triplets or four or five. And so if they're not going to be reciprocal, I think NATO will always exist, but it'll be a name only. And Donald Trump and his administration or subsequent ones will pick and choose which NATO members they can count on. And they'll do what the NATO members have done in the past. They'll say who wants to go to Libya or who wants to go to Serbia, and some don't. I don't think that if Spain has a problem with North Africa or something, I don't think we're going to be there very ready to help Spain, of course.
Well, we'll see how this all comes together. Victor Davis Hanson, always interesting getting your analysis. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.
More of the Bret Baier Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Get those W-2s ready. Tax season has arrived. It's the Fox Business Tax Tips. Fox News Radio's Ginny Castola and Hillary Barsky are joined by the hosts of the Fox Business Network to provide you with the latest tips, tricks, and updates on filing your taxes. From deadlines to tax law changes to the latest deductions, we'll cover it all to make sure you keep that hard-earned money where it belongs, in your pocket. Listen and follow the Fox Business Tax Tips at foxnewspodcasts.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Engel, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
What I see in America right now is there's still masked agents jumping out of unmarked cars, dragging Americans out of churches, their workplaces, and more, separating families. This is a reckless, out-of-control agency. I have not seen any changes.
I have no doubt that as he takes the helm of DHS, Mark Wayne will fight for Homeland Security, the United States, and securing the country and making it really strong and the way it should be.
Welcome to the Homeland Security Department. Joining me now is the new Homeland Security Secretary, Mark Wayne Mullen. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, you obviously had the role of senator. You've seen Cory Booker and others talk about this department and what they see wrong with it. As you step into this job, how do you see it now?
Well, Cory is an acquaintance that I've got to know quite a bit. Unfortunately, what you see from a lot of Democrats right now is political theater, because what they've done is a defunded Department of Homeland Security. I mean, that's like defunding the Department of War, right? Department of War takes care of us abroad. Department of Homeland Security, we take care of everything that is in our backyard. And so what they're saying isn't actually what they're actually trying to do, because when we start talking about ICE agents are simply trying to enforce the policies that Congress passed. I don't get to pick and choose which policies I enforce. I enforce all the policies that Congress put on my plate. And how we do that is, well, we're a nation of laws, so we simply enforce laws. If Cory and some of our Democrats want to change it, then let's have immigration reform. Let's seriously talk about what we're doing. But instead, they're wanting to defund ICE, and they're wanting to defund our Customs and Border Patrol. So essentially what they're saying is we don't want to deport any of our felonies or our felons or the criminals that are here that came underneath the Biden administration, and they want to open our border completely. And I don't know how we get past that, because at the end of the day, I've got a job to do. And I want to do it.
You have a unique perspective because you were up on Capitol Hill. Now you're in the job you're in. But it does not seem like there's an end to this funding battle in sight. This is the longest shutdown for the Department of Homeland Security ever.
Right. Well, the longest shutdown in government history. ever. And we're defunding the Department of Homeland, which is, like I said, this is like defunding the Department of War. And it's putting our mission at risk. We have some very challenging times right now. And how we get past this is that we got to put the partisan bickering aside and say, what's best for America?
Right.
What's best for moving forward?
That's not just Democrats and Republicans, right? I mean, there is a split in the Republican Party. The Hill writes it this way: Republican divisions, Trump's detachment, stymie GOP efforts to reopen DHS. But then the House Speaker Johnson and his leadership team haven't found a formula for containing the rebellious conservative wing. And from the White House, President Trump's mixed messages have thwarted progress at crucial moments when a breakthrough appeared at hand. You think that's fair?
Well, I wouldn't say rebellious conservative or right wing. What it is there's a problem with what the Senate has proposed. And it's a fundamental issue that is very difficult for some Republicans to get past, is that the bill that has been proposed out of the Senate that was passed with unanimous consent, it essentially, and I say essentially, defunded ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. But the reason why we made that play call is because we want to do it through reconciliation. The reason why the president and I have spoke literally for over 5 hours in the Oval Office about the best path to do this with is because September 30th is when the fiscal year ends again. We're afraid that the Democrats will try to hold the country hostage again and shut us down. And so if we can take Customs and Border Patrol off the table and put it through reconciliation and fund it for 3 years, then we don't have to worry about the Democrats playing this political theater. And so when we talk to this right side of the Republican Party, they just have a hard time saying, you want me to vote for a bill that zeroes out those two agencies? Like, yes, but right behind it, we're going to fund it through reconciliation. It's a fundamental process. So some people want to do reconciliation first. Why we try before we do the other 20 agencies? I get that. The problem is that I run out of money. I can only, if it wasn't for the president's executive orders, I wouldn't have any of my agencies paid right now,
right,
or employees paid.
So as you step in this job, obviously you come from someone who was removed from this job and her team. How is this going to be different under you?
Well, I never worked with Christie, Secretary Noem. But my management style is I empower individuals. You know, I have 22 agencies, what we call them components, 22 component leads. My job is empower them to do their jobs. How do I make sure that they have the tools and the assets they need and the manpower they need to be able to go out and deliver the mission that Congress and the President has tasked us with?
You said during your confirmation hearing that your goal for DHS would be that in 6 months, that DHS is not in the headlines every day.
That's right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, right now we get more correspondence from media than the White House does.
More than the White House?
More than the White House does. And so,
because of the controversy surrounding the operations?
I think so, because it's become such a political hotbed. And really, why is Department of Homeland such a political hotbed? All they're doing is trying to keep our streets safe, trying to keep our nation secure, trying to keep bad actors from having terrorist attacks on the homeland. It should be something we all get behind. And so restoring the good people, understanding there's everybody here is dedicated to keep your state as safe as my state.
But Mr. Secretary, you know that the issue here is that you have states and cities that are sanctuary states,
right,
and cities. And that's part of the issue. It's part of the problem. We saw it in Minnesota. How do you get around that?
Well, I believe sanctuary cities is not lawful. I don't think they're able to do that. And so we're going to take a hard look at this. This one area we may take a hard look at is some of these cities have international airports. If they're a sanctuary city, should they really be processing customs into their city? I mean, seriously, if they're a sanctuary city and they're receiving international flights, and we're asking them to partner with us at the airport, but once they walk out of the airport, they're not going to enforce immigration policy, maybe we need to have a really hard look at that, because we need to focus on cities that want to work with us.
So you're saying that big cities that are sanctuary cities that have a big airport, they might lose their customs?
Well, I'm saying we're going to have to start prioritizing things at some point. Right now, remember, the Democrats are wanting to defund Customs and Border Patrol. Well, who processes those individuals when they walk off the plane? And so I'm going to have to be forced to make hard decisions. Who's willing to work with us and partner with us? Once again, I'm not going outside the policies that Congress passed for me, and we're not trying to push those, but we're saying that you've got to partner with
some of the criticism is that the plan talked about was to go after illegal aliens with criminal histories or deportation orders, but that it drifted and that there were more and more people being rounded up that didn't fall under that category. Where are you in this scale of what your priority is?
Well, we're still going after the most egregious felons and criminals out there. But at the same time, when you have a final order or you haven't showed up to your court dates because you claimed asylum and you didn't ever show up for asylum, or you don't fit that category anymore, you're still in the country legal. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to necessarily be hunting you every single day, but as we're doing immigration enforcement, we also have situations where local law enforcement picks up individuals that aren't in this country legally. When they do, we're also deporting those. If you're in this country illegal, you have a duty to self-deport, and we have a mechanism for that. We will actually give you money and pay for your flights for you to self-deport. And if you do it, you can come through the system legally. Because, you know, we have naturalization ceremonies 5 days a week here inside the United States, except on holidays and weekends, that people that went through the system legally did it the right way now become legal citizens or legal permanent residents. And so we're saying go through the system the right way and we'll help you. But if you do it illegally, I have a duty to enforce those laws, and if we catch you, then we're going to deport you.
Do we have numbers on deportations and self-deportations?
The last number that I've seen is we've deported or self-deported for over the last since president's term is just shy of 3 million.
3 million.
Right.
You said you'd like to be in a congressman, you really like to be in a senator, but this job?
I love it.
You love this job?
I love it.
Why is that?
I feel like I get to be a CEO again, right? My wife and I got in business when we were barely 20 years old. And I absolutely enjoyed it. I loved the employees. I loved having something to go after every single day, not just one of 100 or one of 435. But when I'm here, my chairman of the board is President Donald J. Trump, which is really neat. And then when you walk into a building like this and you get the job of protecting the homeland, and you have 270-some thousand employees that you get to work with every single day that are highly dedicated, the best word I would describe is it's awesome. And I've had a smile on my face ever since the president called me.
It's a nonstop job. You have six kids. You got a big family.
Right.
They're ready for this hall.
Oh, we're all in it together. It's a change, right? I mean, as soon as the president nominated me, I went down the steps and, you know, there's cameras all over there, and I jumped in my Jeep and was driving it back to my office, and immediately I get a phone call from the sergeant at arms and the director of Secret Service and said, sir, go straight to the car or garage and park it and give your keys to somebody else.
You're not driving anymore.
I love to drive.
Yeah.
My team didn't drive me. I drove myself. And it's different, right? We have at the house, we have a whole lot of people around the house now. I'm actually a pretty private person. My wife says I'd be a hermit if I wasn't in this position. But it's worth it.
Well, Mr. Secretary, we appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
Personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks. As we approach Liberty Island, you'll see the iconic Statue of Liberty, standing tall at over 300 feet. The torch in her hand symbolizes a beacon of hope that's held up by her very wavy arm.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pagel, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. It's proven to slow GA progression and could preserve your remaining vision for longer, so you can keep seeing the world around you. Don't take IZERVAY if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't wait for your vision changes to progress. Ask your retina specialist about iZurvey today. To learn more, call 1-855-iZurvey or go to iZurvey.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
9.9 million Americans misuse prescription drugs, with most of the pills coming from family and friends' medicine cabinets. The National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day addresses this public health and safety issue. Help us keep prescription drugs out of the hands of our young people. Clean out your medicine cabinets and bring your unused, outdated, and unwanted prescription drugs to the Reading City Hall on Cypress, Saturday, April 25th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, contact Chemical People at 241-5958 or chemicalpeople.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.